Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. You're now tuned into the higher inner frequency of Soul Class number 359, Secular by Design, Part 6. We're broadcasting live at 10:02, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA. Uniting Souls, actually, we intend to continue reading from Alan W. Cecil's seminal work, Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observance. Hopefully be calling from pages 23 until page 25 from part 1, Overview, as well the planets to vibe out on such juicy insights by Cecil. For example, are scientists by their very nature probing the unknown? Are scientists by their very nature probing the unknown? Does that qualify them to be moral human beings? And what is the golden rule of Christianity? And what is the root of this rule of gold? If people are inclined to promote the atheist theology and then attack Judaic, Christian, or Muslim teachings, what in essence are they attacking intellectually, whether consciously or subconsciously? You can call in if you want to chime in at 347-838-8669. As well, I wish to humbly advise any blessed soul who wants to add blessings into his or her life to purchase Cecil's work. And we're now going to turn down the music from Isaac Baton, blessed prayer partner in song and celebration of life, who participates every day at the famous Frankel Shul here in Kesakron Heights. Thank you, Rabbi Isaac, and now we got to get on with the show. Okay. And again, I want to humbly suggest anyone who wants to access some tremendous blessings to get Alan W. Cecil's seminal work, Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observance. You can Google it up and get it through Amazon.com. So Alan Cecil, I think he's known in the Facebook page, it's not Alan W. Cecil, but just Alan Cecil, A-L-A-N-C-E-C-I-L. One of the things that I think will be Blineta, without a vowel, a continuing facet to this type of programming, Secular by Design, Part 6 and onward. I worked it out. We'll have to do hopefully about 276 programs. So we're just at the beginning of scratching the top of this iceberg. Contained within it, the ability to help human beings in this living world deal with what in psychology is known as cognitive dissonance, which is can be understood as a type of mental stress which can be excessive at times and a source of great discomfort for the experiencer of the cognitive dissonance. When a person holds more than one belief, idea, or values,
more than one value, one belief that can contradict each other. And when he or she is confronted by other information, which is new, that conflicts to what he or she previously held as their belief, their idea of value, and this can bring about a bachein, a practical outcome, unfortunately for the person who experiences this, stress and discomfort. Now, from a Torah perspective, this is not just a big deal, because in the Zohar it says, from one part of the heart we rejoice, and from another part of the heart we feel distant. There is a good side to every human being, and a side that needs to be improved. And you understand what I'm saying. There's a good inclination and an evil inclination. And I think a lot of people feel cognitive dissonance when we're talking about Torah scripture and the oral Torah. And Mr. Cecil will help us. His book can help you, blessed souls, deal with the cognitive dissonance as you try to break down the barriers that the past almost 2,000 years of Western civilization has intended consciously or subconsciously to dissuade you from understanding the true meanings of the written and oral Torah tradition. And one of the things that Mr. Cecil starts with from page 23 in part 1 of the overview, the title of this portion of the overview is called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry Intellectual, where he quotes from Robert Gordis from his Ethics for a Lawless World, page 44, scientists, being human beings of intelligence and sensitivity, have their attitudes and their points of view on all of these issues of values and goals. Possessing greater intellectual capacity than the generality of men, scientists have a correspondingly greater responsibility to have their views made known and made effective. But when they do so, they function as citizens, not as scientists. Decision-making in the realm of public policy is not the province of science, but that token science cannot serve as the progenitor of ethics. We have an analogous type of scenario which we can share with you, blessed souls. Let's take the commonplace kitchen knife. Now, a kitchen knife with a wooden handle and a couple of screws which attach that wooden handle to a piece of metal which has been honed down to be able to cut sharply through items ranging from onions to meat can be used to prepare the food that we need or cut up a vegetable, or it can be used for purposes which are anti-societal, that are fear-inducing, that are life-threatening. So is there any morality to the knife itself? Absolutely not. It is how the owner of the knife or the person who has the knife in his or her hand decides to use it, whether for the benefit of his or herself in the immediate environment that he or she are preparing food for, or otherwise with designs which we can only say are evil. Scientists as citizens are affected by the societies they live in, whether it be communist societies, capitalist societies, socialist societies, lawless societies, fascist societies. They are there to hopefully develop the means by which the society they live in and they are part of as citizens will improve, hopefully, for the sake of medicinal purposes, economic purposes, and even ecological purposes, to improve the life standards of those citizens in the country. When they become puppets of ideologies, whether developed on their own by these scientists or by following the crowd of what is the dominant societal values, it can in fact make their science not just quite unscientific, it can make their science go from the purpose it was used to be merely like the axe in the hand of the woodchopper to cut down the forest into a weapon wielding intellectual, moral, sociological, spiritual, and emotional damage. Again, we're not anti-science, blessed souls. We of the Torah faith-based community, love us, will believe in Hashem, but see it as a tool, not as the end, but a means to improving the end hopefully the human family experience to upgrade. The end is to upgrade the human family experience. Going further into Mr. Cecil's overview, the flaw in the logic of the intellectuals' argument is that they treat the quote, unquote, fundamentalist monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam as three peas in a pod, indistinguishable from one another, all equally inane due to their nature of believing in a divine creator, which according to most secular intellectuals does not exist. And this, from at this point, Mr. Cecil quotes from Dawkins, and I have to say, Rahman al-San, Hashem have mercy on this person, Dr. Dawkins, or Professor Dawkins, intellectual Dawkins, in his book called The God Delusion, page 58, as Cecil quotes him, "For most of my purposes, all three Abrahamic religions can be treated as indistinguishable. Unless otherwise stated, I shall have Christianity mostly in mind, but only because it is the version which I happen to be most familiar with." So here's Dawkins goes out of scientific, purely intellectual mode and relies on the fact that his viewpoint is based on what he is most familiar with, based probably on his upbringing in his family's traditions. But isn't that kind of unscientific, blessed souls, and unintellectual for Dawkins not to study with great intent to understand why the three Abrahamic religions have levels which are indistinguishable and yet have levels within both all three faiths? And I don't like to say the word religion because, again, as I mentioned before in a previous program, I think the one before last with Mr. Cecil when Alan was able to join me as a co-host, that in Hebrew, in the Lashon HaKodesh, in the five books of Moses, there is no word for religion. This is a modern term. I think it's related in the Latin etymology. But with that being said, because he's familiar with it, that makes it so. Doesn't sound too scientific to me. Now, as Hitchens points out further on in the overview, quote, "The foundation of all faiths concerns the purported meeting between Moses and God at the summit of Mount Sinai." And this is a quote from Christopher Hitchens, and may he rest in peace, even though he didn't promote peace in the world through his promotion of a book that he wrote, which is from 2007, God Is Not Great. And again, I feel mercy upon the soul of Christopher Hitchens for promoting such an idea. But the Jewish faith stops there, according to these intellectuals, these scientifically minded people. But the Jewish faith stops there. There was no new revelation after Moses, at least not one that did not point back to Sinai as the pinnacle and foundation of Judaic teachings. Christianity and Islam, according to this viewpoint of the scientists or the people who only want to deal with things they're familiar with. Boy, I don't know how a person can be a scientist if he only wants to deal with things that he or she is familiar with. Doesn't sound like a top-rate scientist to me. But the Jewish faith stops there, according to this distorted, cognitive dissonant viewpoint. There was no new revelation after Moses, at least not that did not point back to Sinai as the pinnacle and foundation of Judaism. Christianity and Islam, on the other hand, added to the Jewish teaching, say that their own prophets, Jesus and Muhammad, or Yeshua or Mahmud, had a new and improved version of God's word based on their additions to the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, and the Quran. This is an important point that two larger organized religions, which I like to say faith, in the history of mankind felt the need to use the Tanakh, or the Hebrew Bible, as the thesis for their own faiths. But I want to mention something that mathematician Stan Tenen, a Yehudi, a Jew, once mentioned on Coast to Coast on national radio, which is hosted by, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, please forgive me. And by the way, last week I mentioned, I didn't remember the name of the son who came after the death of Abel, one of the three sons of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava. The son whose name I forgot to mention was Seth, or Shes. So after Abel, or Hevel, passed away, was murdered on a premeditated basis by his brother Cain, or Cain, Shes was born to Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava. And Stan Tenen mentions that he has an analogy for the connection between the Torah, the Eternal Testament, Ha'edot Nitzchi, and the New Testament, which some Christians like to call Brit Chadashah or the Quran, as likened to a seed, a tree, and a fruit. The seed being the Torah and the Tanakh, including the prophetical teachings and the good writings such as Proverbs and Psalms, followed by Brit Chadasha, which is likened to the tree that grew out of that seed, and the fruit, which is Uzlam, the faith of Islam. Now, Mr. Tannen had advocated the idea based on this analogy that the fruit, the Quran, or the Islamic faith, cannot deny the fact that they came from the seed, just as Christianity cannot deny that the tree that it has formed with its sturdy roots, with those parts that we have no problem with as members of the 12 tribes of Israel, are rooted in that tiny seed, that eternal seed of Torah, with all the written and oral traditions. That's just an aside I thought I would add. It would seem reasonable, continuing on with the overview by Mr. Cecil, therefore, that the intellectual's attack would be at the heart of the problem, the Sinaitic revelation, the Torah of Moses. Now, this is pretty interesting, and it kind of ties into that analogy that was provided to us by mathematician Stan Tannen, who spoke several years ago on the nationally broadcast radio show Coast to Coast. I think it's George Norrie, excuse me. Excuse Mr. Norrie if I forgot your name. I hope you will forgive me for that one. Anyway, quoting from Harris, the end of faith, Samuel Harris, nothing is more sacred than facts, Harris insists. The litmus test for reasonableness should be obvious. Anyone who wants to know how the world is, whether in physical or spiritual terms, will open to no evidence. Well, Mr. Harris, how about there is plenty of evidence from the written oral Torah tradition, based on your reasoning, is that there are many things that you do not understand from the Hebrew Testament. If you are truly science and philosophically oriented, do you look into the ancient Hebrew texts? There are plenty of rabbis that would help you do it. Even myself as a Torah activist, a Torah askan would help you. But no, since you seem to be taking the same line, not necessarily in this quote, as Dr. or Professor Dawkins did, because he was just familiar with Christianity, therefore this is what he has mostly in his mind, perhaps you had mostly in your mind that you were right, regardless of what the true evidence is, which is provided to us all over the Torah in both the oral and written traditions. However, this the secular intellectuals do not do, as mentioned by Alan Cecil, W. Cecil. Although they attack the Old Testament, their main targets are the ideological teachings of the two offshoots of Judaic teachings, Christianity and Islam. The secular attack on Judaic teachings consists primarily of blaming Judaic teachings for opening up the Pandora's box of faith and being responsible for unleashing Christianity and Islam upon the world, and the bulk of atheist animosity is directed at the Christian and Islamic interpretations of the Hebrew Bible than Judaic teachings themselves, primarily from the oral Torah traditions. That Jewish interpretations might be fundamentally different from Christian or Islamic interpretation does not enter the intellectual's mind. Hence, they avoid cognitive dissonance by their ignorance of Jewish oral and written Torah traditions. And by attacking the New Testament and the Quran instead of the Torah proper, these secularists completely miss their target. Or I would say they didn't catch the boat or they missed the train. Hitchens does ridicule Maimonides in passing on a few occasions, but rather than oblique references to the Talmud, part of the oral Torah tradition of Israel. There is silence among these writers concerning the Jewish interpretation of their own scripture, an interpretation that is different from the ones the intellectuals attack. The inability of these intellectuals to differentiate between Christian or Islamic theology and rabbinic interpretation, or I would like to say elucidation as well, make their statements about the Torah sound as foolish as their teachings of the religionists the atheists themselves ridicule. For example, Richard Dawkins questions the need for religion, arguing that we do not need religion to teach us to be moral. Well, I would agree with you to some extent, Mr. Dawkins, or Dr. Dawkins, or Professor Dawkins, because Torah is not a religion. It is a code book of law. Laws provide the structure, the paradigm, the framework for instructing human beings. Torah means instruction. Dawkins insists, as Alan so expertly plucks out, from his, again, I have to say, upon Professor Dr. Dawkins, Hashem have mercy upon him for writing such a book, The God Delusion, quoting from Dawkins, we do not even the religious among us. Well, it's interesting. Is he including himself among them, the religious? We do not even the religious among us ground our morality in holy books. How then do we decide what is right and what is wrong? One way to express our consensual ethics is as, quote-unquote, the new Ten Commandments. Here is one set of the new Ten Commandments from today, which I happen to find on an atheist website. The first commandment being, that's a very interesting oxymoron, the new Ten Commandments. I would think that atheists would be against commandments. And maybe they have an infatuation with ten. Or maybe they were previously Christians and like the idea of new being connected to Testament. But anyway, Dawkins, in a parenthetical statement, or Cecil, injected the first commandment being, do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. Now, this is interesting, as Mr. Cecil continues. This, in fact, a wonderful teaching, as we mentioned at the earlier show, earlier part of this show program, is the quote-unquote golden rule of Christianity postulated in the negative, which, hey, I can buy into it. I'll tell you why. Because most people, including Professor Dr. Dawkins, however, does not seem to realize that this teaching is of rabbinical elucidation, a teaching that is over 2,000 years old and is mentioned in the Talmudic tractate of Shabbos, the oral Torah tradition of how to observe the Shabbat and how to avoid transgressing the Shabbat if you're one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a well-known story of a Gentile who approached Rabbi Hillel and asked him to teach the Torah while standing on one foot, which means, as mentioned in the Gemara, which implied how would you learn the whole Torah quickly, meaning to boil it down to one essential teaching. So Rabbi Hillel, also known as Hillel Zaken, Hillel the Elder, replied, quote, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to another. This is the entire Torah, the rest is commentary. Go study it, end of quote. Now here's what's interesting. What Dawkins found alluring from this atheist website concerning the first of the Ten Commandments, of the new Ten Commandments, I prefer to hold by the Ten Commandments that were given to Mount Sinai, which we just celebrated last week for the 3,427th time. Here is the essence of the Torah boiled down to one pithy saying, continues Cecil, a simple moral code for all, called by Bnei Olam, all the inhabitants of the world. This is part and parcel, which can be integrated, and it's not super rational for all the blessed children of Noah, all the inhabitants of the world, the Gentile population, all 7 billion plus and growing stronger, can adhere to, standing on one leg, so to speak. What these secular intellectuals do not seem to understand is that Judaism or Judaic teachings, I'm not a fan of the schism mode of thinking, whether it be ism of Judaism or any other type of ism, it kind of churns up the cognitive dissonance that many people try to avoid. I guess the ism is part of my own cognitive dissonance. To understand that Judaic teachings has an entire branch of teachings for the nations of the world, and therefore the secularist, scientific, atheistic, feeble attempt to lump together Judaic teachings, Christian teachings, and Islamic teachings obfuscates a concept that secular intellectuals, and I'd like to add, which was not mentioned here in this part of the overview, scientific-minded thinking individuals, the creme de la creme of society, in terms of intelligentsia, are unable to grasp. That according to the rabbinic elucidations of Judaic teachings, the Torah, which consists of the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, has absolutely nothing to do with religion, at least as the children of Noah, the Gentile populations of the world, are concerned. In fact, this matter is brought out succinctly and tersely and so brilliantly by Mr. Cecil by quoting Paul Eidelberg from his work from 1989, Beyond the Secular Mind, a Judaic Response to the Problems of Modernity, that the halachic mind, or the mind of the human being who is engaged in knowing the laws of the Torah, is not the religious mind. certainly not as the latter is portrayed by secularists and mystics, and we'll add the atheists and the scientific minds, which was not mentioned by Mr. or Professor Eidelberg. Judaic teachings, concluding in today's reading from the overview of Mr. Cecil's seminal work, Judaic teachings advocate that there is a moral and legal code for all human beings that is outside what we consider the sphere of religion, a code based on halacha yehudi, Jewish law. Well, that's where we're going to end up today, blessed souls. And I hope this gave you some food to thought. Also like to give you some food to thought as we end off with our flagship ending music by our good friend in prayer, spirit, and communication, Facebook buddy, David Dome, will help us get back home to help us realize our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. Our divine image will help us go from skirmish to realize that we have got to be good. And even though it might seem like a struggle, whether we think of the struggle from a perspective of cognitive dissonance, blessed souls, or whether we have a scientific view on the matter, or a atheist view on the matter, Hashem have mercy on such an idea, or a faith-based viewpoint, whether we be Jews, or Christian, or Islam, or Hindu, or whatever is out there in terms of the smorgasbord of belief systems that exist in the world, or economic systems, or political systems, we can be good, because it is the nature of the good to do good, the Almighty. It arose in Creator's thought to bring you blessed souls into the world. Therefore, you're empowered to do good. And hopefully it will comfort you as well, the fact that you have a divine image, that the Creator thought, had the consideration to think of you, one out of 7 billion plus, growing and flowing in this blessed creation. And with that being said, all of us can be moda. We can acknowledge that we are perfectly imperfect. So we're going to end off with that, blessed souls. Hopefully in a couple of days we'll get back on the air. And in the meantime, lahamshich b'havelcha, to be continued with one love, goralcha, one destiny, kolon for all of us, b'darchi shalom, in a peaceful, darchi noam, and a pleasant way, bezer Hashem yisperek, with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
I can't stand on my own, and I really I need love to kill my demons. I need love to win the war. Turn these demons into angels. What else is love for? There's no point in holding grudges. They only kill the soul. In the end, there's only kindness. Kindness is my goal. Perfect imperfection. Give me something I can use. Some is hard to enlighten us. This current